Thank you very much. At this time, we'd like to ask our children to come forward for our children's moment. All right. Here comes the bag. Oh, and here comes Batman. All right. Now let's see what we got in here. We have a wooden block letter.
Why?
Why? That's right. Oh, look at that. It's all fancy on one side. And then it's all plain on the other side. All right, so what is why?
It's a letter.
It is a letter. Is it the last letter in the alphabet? No. It's one of them. It's the second to last. Is it a vowel or a consonant? It depends, doesn't it? It can be both. Oh, my goodness gracious. This Y can serve as all things to all people. And guess what we're called to do as followers of Jesus Christ? To be all things to all people. To come alongside those in need, to help others. To do for people what they need done and to help them out. And sometimes when we help people out, they ask a question. What question do you think they ask? Why? And we tell them because Jesus loves us. That's why. And because Jesus loves you. And what does you start with?
You.
No, it starts with a why, people. Come on. You did so good with the consonant and vowel question.
Jesus starts with J.
And Jesus starts with J. That's right. So, we got a lot of things we can do with why. So, I know. All right. So, we're gonna stop while we're not quite ahead, but we're at par at least. So, let's pray, and then you guys can go to Children's Church, okay? Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for this day that you've given to us. We thank you for the opportunity we have to be your followers and to help out and to be all things to all people. And we pray that as we encounter people each and every day, that we would be able to help them and to do for them what you have called us to do because you love us and because you call us to serve others. We love you, we thank you, we praise you, and ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. I don't know. We'll give it to one more adult. We'll give it to another adult, I guess. Noticed a pattern with this bag all month, and the pattern is that it has been everyone on this side. So is there anybody over here that would like to? Okay, I see a hand. Now, you bring it back next week, and remember the rules. It can't be alive. It can't used to be alive. And if I don't know what it is, you have to tell me what it is. All right. Awesome. Our scripture lesson this morning comes from Luke chapter 2, verses 42 to 51. Luke chapter 2, I'm sorry, 41 to 52, excuse me. Hear now the word of our Lord. Each year his parents went to Jerusalem for the Passover festival. When he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to their custom. After the festival was over, they were returning home, but the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents didn't know it. Supposing that he was among their band of travelers, they journeyed on for a full day while looking for him among their family and friends. When they didn't find Jesus, they returned to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple. He was sitting among the teachers, listening to them and putting questions to them. Everyone who heard him was amazed by his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were shocked. His mother said, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Listen, your father and I have been worried. We've been looking for you." Jesus replied, "Why were you looking for me? Didn't you know that it was necessary for me to be in my father's house?" But they didn't understand what he said to them. Jesus went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. His mother cherished every word in her heart. Jesus matured in wisdom and years and in favor with God and with people. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, for your love and your grace, for all that you have done for us. For the reading and the hearing of this, your word, we give you thanks. We pray that you would be with the words you have given to me. May they be yours and not mine. May they open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our hearts to receive, our minds to understand. And may we, in the strength of the bodies you have given to us, be faithful to your call upon us. We ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. It's not every day that I can completely understand how Jesus feels. But in this passage, I can understand how Jesus feels. He was left at the temple. Now, many of you know my father was a minister of music at my home church in Louisville. And not once, but twice, I got left at church. Now, my brother never got left at church. But I got left at church twice. Once when I was in middle school, again, I think when I was a freshman in high school. And it doesn't end there. There happened to be a Sunday morning where they left me at home. My dad came to church like he normally does, and I guess my mom thought that I was with him. And so I woke up and had a home alone moment. And I realized they had left for church, and so I did what any rational middle schooler would do. I poured myself a bowl of cereal. I sat down on the couch. I got comfortable. I turned on the TV, and about that time, my mother comes running in frantically. "I'm so sorry. Can't believe we forgot you. Why are you just sitting there? Why do you not have your church clothes on? It's time to go." And I was the one that got in trouble. Like I planned this or something. So I threw my cereal down the drain, put on some clothes as fast as I could, and off we went to church. I can kind of understand what's going on in this passage. Now, this is the only time in the New Testament that shows Jesus as a youth, right? Now, we have his birth story. We have, certainly in Luke, we have his birth account. And then everything else is about him as a grown-up, as he begins his ministry, as he begins to do the things that he had come to this earth to do. And so we have to ask ourselves, why is this the story that's told, right? Why don't they tell the story of his bar mitzvah, right? Why don't they tell the story of him winning the game, whatever the sporting event might be? But this is the story. Any of you have parents that don't share those stories with other people, but they share the stories that you're not necessarily as proud of as you'd want to be? Any parents out there who have done this? Quit it, right? This is the story that they tell. It's a random story. It seems so odd and so strange, but this is what Luke tells us. And the importance of this story is that it foreshadows who Jesus will be later in life. Now, this is common in antiquity when they would write stories, such as the Gospels that are being written here. If there was a hero in the story, they would show things that this person did as a child that kind of foreshadowed who this person would be when they grew up and what they would do. And that's what we have going on here. You'll notice in this story that they find him 3 days later, right? Of course, that's a reference most likely to the resurrection that would take place. There's a similarity here to the story of Jonah, right, who was in the belly of the fish for 3 days. We see that he's sitting among the teachers debating with them and asking them questions, and people are in shock and awe of the things that he does, which is very similar to, of course, his ministry, where the teachers would be in debates and discussions with him, and where he would awe and shock people with the miracles and the things that he taught. He looks at his mother when she comes to him, and he's a little bum-fuzzled. She says, "Where have you been?" "Well, mother, I've been here in my father's house. Where else would I be?" Right? And of course, later in Luke, we see that he overturns a few tables. because people have not been treating his father's house the way he would like. All of this points to Jesus' future ministry and life. And today we're going to consider some of the interesting facets of this story in light of Jesus' life and ministry. And what I find most interesting in this story is how Jesus responds to what happens. He has two responses. One's a little more active, the other one's a little more passive, but we see that in verses 51 and 52. Now, after Jesus gets scolded by his mom, right? After he gets a talking to, and there's a less than pleasant exchange going on here, it says that Jesus went home with them and became obedient to his parents. He went home and became obedient to his parents. Jesus, a 12-year-old boy, was obedient to his parents. That's a miracle, people. That is a miracle. If there was any doubt that Jesus was perfect in this life, it's taken away. At 12 years old, he became obedient to his parents. How many of us were obedient to our parents at 12 years old? Put your hands down. All y'all, quit it. Try again. He's 12 years old. He's not quite a man, according to Jewish law. Not until he's 13. Not until he has his bar mitzvah. Yet we see that before he becomes completely responsible for his own actions, he submits to his parents. Now, a bar mitzvah or a bat mitzvah, depending boy or girl, not only celebrates a child's entry into adulthood, but it celebrates and recognizes when that person becomes obligated to follow the law. Before their bar mitzvah or their bat mitzvah, they are not obligated to keep the law as an adult is obligated to keep the law. But after this happens, after this celebration takes place, now they are bound to the law as Jewish people. And he makes this conscious decision to follow the commandments as a child before he is obligated to do so, before he has to. And that's quite interesting. And what commandment here does he immediately begin to follow? I'll give you a hint. It's number 5. Honor your father and mother. Now, this is the first commandment, we are told, that has a promise to it, so that you may live long and so that you may have long life. And what's interesting is that Jesus doesn't necessarily have a long life on earth, but his life gives life to us. And so he begins to honor his father and mother. And if you'll remember with me, there's several passages that indicate that if you break one law, you're guilty of breaking all of the law. And I think here Luke is trying to indicate that the reverse is also true. If Jesus keeps this one commandment, the implication is that he's going to keep all of them. That he is going to be the fulfillment of the law that was handed down to Moses so long ago. He became obedient to his parents. And I think for us, we can begin to see the implications for our lives, right? Being obedient to our parents, being obedient to God our Father, being obedient to each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. This is his first response, to be obedient to his parents, to follow them back to Nazareth, to leave his father's house, if you will, and to go back home. The other response that I find quite interesting is that Jesus matures in wisdom, in years, and in favor with God and with people. And we see this in verse 52. This is very similar to the description of John the Baptist at the end of chapter 1, verse 80. It says that he grew as well. He grew in character. He grew in wisdom. He was growing in favor with God and others as well. Now, Luke finds it important to point out that Jesus grows in wisdom. And he points this out because Jesus is still learning, because he doesn't know everything yet. Now, we have to be reminded this morning that Jesus is both God and man. He is both teacher and learner. He is infinite and he is finite. He is the Word, and He is the Word made flesh. And I believe this passage indicates that Jesus had to mature, and it calls us to continue to mature. If Jesus had stuff to learn, then probably we have some things to learn as well. This is the point in Jesus' life, I think, when he realizes what his purpose is, and he really begins to understand who he is. Part of me wonders if the questions that he's asking these teachers in the temple are questions about the Messiah. He wants to know who he is. He wants to learn more about this sonship that he has in God. I wonder this morning, do you remember when you decided what you wanted to be when you grew up? Anyone remember that? Anyone still growing up? Okay, a few of us, all right. I can remember when I was 19, finally realizing that God was calling me into ministry. And so 7 years after Jesus kind of had this experience, I finally kind of had this experience in my own life. And so we can all relate to that, and we can all begin to understand what that is. And then of course, when we figure that out, we begin to work towards that. And I think that's what Jesus is doing here, and that's what this story is helping us to understand, is he's now setting his entire person to doing what he has been brought here to do. And at the age of 12, he sets the example for us. We are expected to mature and to grow in wisdom and understanding each and every day. As United Methodists, we call that sanctification. We are called to grow in our understanding of God, to grow in that understanding of who we are and who God calls us to be and who God is. As Christians, our call is to continue to mature in the faith. We are to be lifelong learners, gaining understanding and gaining insight. If we aren't learning, we aren't living into the fullness of who Christ calls us to be. If we think we have it all figured out, that is a clear indication that we don't. And it's time to start asking questions, and it's time to actively and intentionally start learning, as we see Jesus does here. And as we learn, as we grow, we, like Jesus, will grow in favor with God and with others. We all here this morning know God loves us. We've been told since we were itty-bitty that Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. But as we mature, as we grow, we begin to see the extent of that love. That it's an unconditional love. And as we learn more of who God is, and as we learn more of what God has done in our midst and continues to do in our midst, we then begin to continue learning and growing and being the people he's called us to be. Living into the fullness of the image of God within us. And then, of course, we will share that love with others. We can't help but do that. Because of what we have received, we want to pass that on. Jesus' life and ministry marks a turning point in human history. These are important events that take place. And I think this story is at the crux of that turning point. I think this is when Jesus intentionally begins to know and understand who he is, and he sets out to figure out what that looks like. And he sets out to do what he has been called to do. Each and every one of us in here have been put on this earth to glorify God, to praise God, to bring people to a knowledge and an understanding of God. Have we intentionally set ourselves to that? Have we intentionally taken the gifts we have been given and used those to glorify God? Not everyone is called into pastoral ministry, but all of us are called into ministry wherever we are, in whatever job or vocation we hold. We are called to be ministers, priests of the gospel, those who help others to grow and learn as well. I pray that we might be obedient to God this morning, that we might seek to intentionally be obedient and learn from Him, so that we might mature in our faith and in our love. And as we grow in that faith and love, we have the opportunity then to teach others about that faith and that love that we have received. And in so doing, we will intentionally then help others to become obedient, to become mature, to become followers of Jesus. Making disciples isn't just sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with others. There is that important step, sharing who Jesus is and leading people to accept Christ as their Lord and Savior, but it goes beyond that. As we continue to teach and as we continue to learn and as we continue to grow and to help others grow, to help form and shape these disciples into the people God has called them to be. That is our task. Like Mary and Joseph had that task with Jesus and with their other children, so we have that task with our children, with those that we come alongside, and those that we have the opportunity to help. Jesus was indeed, in this story, a lost boy in some sense. But he begins to find out who he is. He begins to find out what his purpose is. And I hope and pray this morning that if you feel lost, that you will seek God, that you will ask for his guidance so that you may be found and so that you may help others to be found as well. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, for your love and for your grace, for your mercies which are new each day. For this child, Jesus, we give you thanks, not only for his birth, not only for his death and resurrection, but Lord, for his willingness to intentionally seek to grow and learn more about you. Without these events, he would not have been the Messiah you called him to be. Indeed, if we are not intentional, if we do not seek to grow each and every day, we will not be the disciples that you have called us to be. Lord, may we seek to be your disciples. May we seek to make disciples. Lord, may we help others to know you as we have come to know you. We love you. We thank you. We praise you and ask all these things in Christ's name.